And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we've been on hiatus for a few weeks. I just got back from paternity leave.
Yeah, and you know, I got back from my sister's wedding. Andre and David got married, so congratulations to them in France.
Saw the photos on the Facebook. Looked really, really nice. Looked like a fun time.
Yeah, great time.
Yeah, and apparently other people were not on vacation. There's a lot of stuff that actually shipped and happened over the last few weeks, so this is kind of a buffet of catch-up for us to go back and, not a buffet of ketchup, that would be disgusting, but it's a ketchup buffet for us to go back and catch up. You know what I'm trying to say. Let's dive right into the first story, which is the Visual...
It's almost like we've been on vacation and have never done this before.
Exactly. So Visual Studio 14.
Yeah, so this is CTP 2.
Yep.
And our good friend John Montgomery has a blog post that goes through the key things for this release. So first is that you can do save and apply custom IDE layout. So once you get your layout exactly how you want it, you can actually save that specific layout and then kind of switch between them. The light bulb adornment, which a lot of people know is kind of like the fix-it, if you will, where it'll give you information, the classic one being things like Roslyn,
right,
that we've talked about before.
Yep.
We're going to actually make changes.
I suggested, by the way, that they call that feature IntelliClippy. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to lodge that formal suggestion.
That's a terrible idea.
It'd be awesome.
But speaking of good ideas, editor touch support. So the idea, and I'm just going to list the ones out here. So scrolling, pinch to zoom, tap and hold for context menus, double tap for word selection, and line selection by tapping the margin.
Mm.
So lots of cool stuff where now you can imagine, like, we're looking at one source code base. If this was a touch monitor, we could actually, like, zoom in, zoom out.
Yeah.
Just by using, this is awesome.
Cool.
I love this, and it's actually one of the key features from User Voice. So, you know, a lot of the big things happen because of requests from customers. So, VC property page editor enhancements, some work that we've done with all caps that'll apply both on RC as well. So now we're changing the default, so you can read John's post for all the details. But there's a lot of stuff in VS 14, and I think the one that I'm most excited about is definitely the touch feature.
Right, and we should actually talk about what's not in here, because if people just take a look at Visual Studio 14 CTP and say, oh gosh, where's the ALM capabilities? Where's TFS? Where's a new version of the .NET framework? None of that stuff is in here.
Sure.
This is an early preview of many of the things that we actually already announced at TechEd North America and Build that are starting to trickle their way into Visual Studio 14, but there's a lot more to come in the future, so we should just set those expectations.
Yeah, and another key thing is if you're experimenting, try the Azure virtual machine.
Yeah.
That way you don't necessarily have to worry about, say like side-by-side issues with your production version of Visual Studio, this is the community technology preview.
Right, that's great advice. Another thing that Brian Harry has talked about, which is coming soon, is the idea of giving free stakeholder access to your Visual Studio Online projects. And so what this means is, you know, as developers, we get in and we pay for a license to Visual Studio Online, which gives us a ton of capabilities. I can run my builds, I can work with source control, I can work with test cases. But sometimes you have people who just occasionally need to interact with your project. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a stakeholder who needs to just review your requirements or submit an occasional bug. For those users, we didn't want to charge them the full price for Visual Studio Online. And so what we've done is we're getting ready to make a free stakeholder license available. You can assign as many of these stakeholder licenses as you want with Visual Studio Online, and it will give them a limited view into things like the work items. It will give them a view into the homepage. They can see the reports and the graphs that we've added by way of the work item charts. So it's a really nice way for you to extend your project to other people who might need occasional or shallow access to your project without actually costing you anything else. The other thing that Brian has mentioned is that we've had a similar but not quite the same implementation vehicle available on Team Foundation server for several years, and we're going to be bringing the same model to Team Foundation server in the future. So
they can file bugs, though.
Yes, they can file bugs. They get full CRUD access to work items if you choose to give that to them. If you decide you just want to lock down their permissions,
right,
of course, that's up to you.
Or something,
but
sure.
From a license perspective, yes, they have full access now to Visual Studio Online work items.
Okay, very cool. Next story is ASP.NET vNext and Visual Studio 14 CTP 2. So there's a number of things happening for ASP.NET vNext, mm-hmm. which is the next version of ASP.NET. And they've updated some of the key things are there's actually a new getting started with ASP.NET vNext and Visual Studio 14 mm-hmm. that kind of runs everything you need to do, like the KVM and all that wonderful tooling. Next thing is samples. So there's the MVC Music Store and a bug tracker that have been updated 4K as well, and a number of different updates, whether it's bug fixes or new features that you can go through in their release notes.
Right.
So a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things for our customers to review.
And if you haven't already, you know, kind of familiarized yourself with what's coming to ASP.NET vNext, it is massive. Go check out Scott Hanselman's talks and Scott Hunter's talks from TechEd North America. Basically, you'll be able to run ASP.NET applications on non-Windows boxes. You'll be able to make Xcopy deployments. You'll be able to make quick file edits directly on the server if you choose to without going through a build process. There is so much stuff coming in ASP.NET vNext that it kind of feels like 2002 all over again in my opinion. So you definitely, if you haven't already checked it out, you owe it to yourself.
Very cool stuff.
So we also released Visual Studio 2013 Ultimate Update 3 RC recently. Mm-hmm. And so
yes,
one of the new features that I'm excited to share about is CodeLens for Git. So people who have used CodeLens in the past, you know that there's several different indicators you can get. You know, who is the last person to change this block of code? You know, what bugs does this block of code fix? What are the tests which actually exercise this code, and are those passing or failing? And traditionally, those CodeLens indicators only worked with Team Foundation version control. When we implemented it, that was the only version control option within Team Foundation server.
Right.
And now those changes actually work with Git as
Sweet.
Well. So brand new and very exciting.
You know, that's one of the changes for the upcoming release candidate for Visual Studio 2013, having Git support. But there's a number of others. So including things like application insight support, Visual Studio graphics analyzer. So if you're doing things like understanding things like frame rates and how applications are working, then there's new tools under diagnostics for graphics diagnostics that are definitely useful. Manage memory dump analysis that actually lets you go to definition where something like, hey, there was a crash, or you're seeing information, you're like, huh, what is this thing? Jump directly to that definition, and you know, a lot more. Mentioned the CodeLens as well. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, and the application
cool
insights actually, I just want to talk briefly about application insights, because previously we had made a vSix add-in for Visual Studio available, so you can add application insights to a new project or an existing project. And when you did that, all of the data went to the Visual Studio Online application insights portal. But as you probably saw at TechEd, we announced this new Azure portal, which actually brings together Visual Studio Online capabilities and App Insights capabilities and capabilities from Azure, of course.
A unified DevOps world,
exactly. And so so now what they've done in the Update 3 RC is they've actually taken the data that is by default added using that App Insights experience, and they're shipping that over to the new Azure portal. If you want to ship it to the existing Visual Studio Online portal, you can simply uninstall that vSix and go download the one that's been available for a while. So we'll probably need to do another show to kind of go through a lot more of the particulars that are coming and some of the changes and enhancements around App Insights. I just wanted to give people a heads up in case they're using that. Pay attention to the blogs, and they'll provide a little bit more detail into what I'm talking about.
So the last thing I wanted to cover is all caps. So this is now, there's now a new menu option under Tools Options that lets you change the menu items from all caps to title case, or it's like first letter case, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and then lowercase all. This is something that customers have asked for. Before it was a reg key, now it's actually in the options.
Yes, and this one always befuddles me. I myself am a fan of the uppercase. I don't want to get too religious here. I liked it. It's funny when we first put uppercase into the IDE, people started, you know, yelling at us, usually in all caps,
yes.
saying, "What are you doing? You
Absolutely.
Know, this is the rule number one with typography, blah blah blah." And I had a friend point out that newspapers know that all caps are wrong, and I went out to like NewYorkTimes.com, Wall Street Journal, and they actually use all caps as a differentiator now to distinguished typefaces. So personally, I'm a fan of all uppercase. Doesn't bother me, but it does bother a lot of people. So there previously was a registry hack you could run to turn that off. Now it's in Tools Options, and what's important is that setting will persist. It will roam with you.
Right.
It will go from upgrade to upgrade. So if you really are, you know, kind of a title case fan, you have that option to you much more easily now.
I'm excited to see how many people actually change it too.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see.
So what's this, Brian?
So this came out about a month ago in Release Canada. It's basically the new version of ASP.NET MVC, Web API, and Web Pages 3.2. It includes OData v4 support, and now this is the release version. So if you were using the RC before, you want to upgrade to the release version of these NuGet packages. There's a bunch of really low-level stuff here. The major one that jumped out at me was OData v4 support, but there's a bunch of just good overall goodness across all these different technologies.
Cool.
I just love what Mads is doing here.
Yes. So, which is, and he says this is an important update to Web Essentials 2013. And he says that, of course, because the TLDR version is Visual Studio will crash.
Ah.
So, they did do an auto updater that lets you know, hey, there's a new version. It contains important updates. You want to install it. Make sure to actually take that update because it does actually do a number of things. Web Essentials uses unpublished APIs. Mm. So when those unpublished APIs change, they can cause Visual Studio crashes and so on. And Mads actually goes into a lot more detail. But the key thing is, one, there's cool features that are coming. Probably one of my favorites is peak definition for styles, right? So I basically have, I'm in HTML. I have class equals, header. And you basically can peek over, and it'll show you
the style sheet.
The style.
That's awesome.
For that. Yeah, yeah, I love it. Of course. Yeah. It's great because normally you're doing that back and forth or another pane.
Yeah, that's a great implementation of peak.
Yeah. So kudos. Love the feature. And there's a number of other ones. So JSON schema score, browser link for CSS media queries, auto prefixer for less SAS, and so on. So there are a number of just goodies as well.
In addition to it not crashing anymore. as if you needed another reason.
Yes, exactly.
That's great.
Whipped cream on top.
Yes, and I think we are on the same story here, which is two of my favorite people. This is Beth Massey talking to Dustin Campbell. And Dustin Campbell is a program manager over on the Roslyn team. And I'll admit, Dan, I when I first heard about Roslyn, everybody was super excited about it a few years ago. And they're like, oh yeah, it's going to be this compiler as a service thing. I didn't really understand the full kind of weight and bearing that actually has on our lives as developers. I knew that it would make the Visual Studio team's job easier. I knew that it would make a language add-in or refactoring tool add-in vendor's job easier by having access to all these compiler capabilities in one place.
Sure.
But I think this video really makes it real and grounds it for the rest of us. And in fact, this the topic of this is just .NET compiler platform Roslyn for the rest of us. So definitely take some time to watch this. Also, go back to Build if you haven't already and watch Mads and Dustin's talk from Build. I think it was the most popular talk at Build, if I'm not mistaken. It was certainly very highly rated, and he talks about the future of C#, but it also applies to Visual Basic as well. So just a terrific sea of opportunities here that you're starting to see show up already in the Visual Studio 14 CTPs, and they are just getting started.
Yeah, love it. Two new SDKs for imaging. So if you are doing anything for either Windows or Windows Phone, there's some awesome things that you can take advantage of. And these are Nokia libraries that they make available. The first one's an imaging SDK. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to, for example, do a Hipstamatic Instagram style effects for your photos, you can either learn how to do that yourself, like hue, saturation, HDR effects, or just use their library. Mm. Their library is designed to be incredibly performant and do things like random access to JPEG. So if you want to do something like a crop effect, rather than scanning the entire JPEG into memory and then doing that stuff, it actually allows you things like previews, and then it can instantly crop off different parts, and just like awesome stuff if you are an image developer and just want to be able to leverage a great library that is highly performant, the imaging SDK update to 1.2. And then the second thing is what's called Lumia Sensor Core SDK. Now, this is a new SDK, and the idea behind it is, in fact, it is a beta. If you are building applications that capture sensor information, like, for example, I'd use the classic Fitbit example, where it's like somebody's running activity, step tracking, location, so it knows like where it thinks your home is, where your work is, and so on. This includes a number of libraries to be able to do exactly that. So if you're building those kinds of applications that are tracking, whether it's fitness level, activity level, the things that you're doing, SensorCore has all the things, and it's available in beta now.
Great, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you happen to know if this is exclusive to Nokia devices when you build these apps?
No. So yeah, for SensorCore, you do need to have I think it's the 630 or 930 are the devices that now support it.
Okay. But for the imaging, it's open to
Imaging is just basically a library.
Great.
So.
Sounds good. One of the great things that happened while we were out of the office was, or actually you were here, was .NET Conf. And
yes.
So if you missed .NET Conf, we didn't get a chance to talk about it on This Week on Channel 9. Lots of really great content from a lot of people on your team. Of course, we just mentioned Roslyn is in here. It's a future of C# session. What else? The Connect SDK was on here?
Yeah, we had Connect SDK. We had Larry Lieberman talking about Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. So some of the guys, Scott Hunter, as one example. I think Damien was on there as well, mm-hmm. talking about either SignalR, ASP.NET, vNext. So day two was kind of server-based.
Okay.
Day one was kind of client-based, where they talk about universal projects, Windows Phone, and yep. so on. So, and I had a session doing Lego Mindstorms, where people Ooh. Use SignalR. I got to do the fun session.
Awesome.
So it was, you go to a web page, and you say whether you want to basically drive it up, down, left, right, and does real-time voting, and whatever the winning vote is, the robot did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, and people got to see the real-time results.
So people, during the conference, played
yes,
the game?
Yes, yes, oh, and awesome. We showed how to drive that. And then, of course, most people were trying to drive it off the ledge.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
The line was, I guess most people want to see the world burn.
Did you see the internet playing Pokemon earlier this year?
It was actually an entire play on Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Nice, nice.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Right.
So it brings us to picks of the week. So my pick of the week is this service that I think Microsoft Research came out with. It's Microsoft 3D Model Repair Service. So when I first saw this, I thought, oh great, they're gonna like take my broken, you know, Legos and like go in and like patch them, right?
It's not any idea.
Not quite what it is, although that would be an awesome idea and I should go trademark it. What this does actually is it takes your model files, so those 3D files that you're going to use to then turn around and print, and it analyzes them to try and determine whether or not you're going to have any gaps in those files. Basically, if there's think of it like a JPEG, right? When you save a lossy image format, you're going to lose some fidelity. What this does is it tries to go back over that 3D model and actually smooth it out and say, you know, you probably are going to have little divots and little places where the 3D ink, if you will, won't actually fill in. And so this is a cloud-based service that you can upload that model to. It will go out and do that work of kind of smoothing everything out so that you get much better models in the end.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mine is about the acquisition we did for SyntaxTree, which is the creator of a tool called Unity VS. Mm-hmm. So Unity VS was a Visual Studio extension that you could buy. It was like $99 for a person, or like I think like $299 for like a company. But it basically allowed you to have full Visual Studio integration with the Unity. And you use Unity, this is their visual designer that has a number of things like assets and so on. So you can imagine in a game, you could actually plug in Visual Studio, you double click for a specific, let's just say a specific object, like there was a robot. You double click the robot, and the robot has a set of scripts. Those scripts, when you double click, you can have it associated with Visual Studio and basically run the scripts. Now, they supported C#, what's called Unity Script, which is basically a JavaScript, and mm-hmm. Boo, which is yet another language. But the coolest part was you could do not just writing the script, you get IntelliSense and so on. You could even do things like breakpoints. So you can imagine like in a game while it's running and do things like only if, you know, health gets less than 50, then hit the breakpoint. And then you can do evaluation like, well, the robot's health says this, but the life is this, and, you know, what's the issue there? Hmm. So there's a number of cool things that it had that we as developers love in Visual Studio, right. And a number of folks were buying this license specifically for this, and the coolest part is it's going to be available for free soon.
Oh, wow.
For everyone.
Sweet.
Yes.
Awesome. Great
Very
acquisition.
Cool.
And they promised tighter integration with Visual Studio moving forward, but too early to see exactly what that means. But welcome aboard to SyntaxTree.
Yes. Very cool stuff.
Cool. And we will see you next week.
Thanks.